With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome, dear listener, to this week's EvoStick Extra. My name is Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be previewing this weekend's league matches in the Premier Division. We'll also be having a chat with Salford City, and we'll be bigging up Nantwich Town, of course. All of that and a little bit more on this week's EvoStick Extra. So welcome everybody to this week's show. Very shortly we'll be reviewing last weekend's fixtures with James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, and later on we'll be speaking to Whitby Town Radio's Andrew Snaith with a preview for this weekend's fixtures. But before all of that, it's time for our mystery guest of the week, our special guest of the week, and it's one of the joint managers from Salford City. It's Anthony Johnson. Hello, Jono, how are you?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Thanks for coming on the show. I think this is your debut this year. You came on the MPL show. I've been leaving it to Laura Flint to talk about Salford this season, but I thought it's getting to the tail end of the season now where it gets all serious, so we should speak to one of the managers. So thanks for coming on the show, Jono. It's been a very pivotal week for Salford City, I feel, with the result against Ashton and the result against Workington midweek. It's been crucial 6 points, I'm going to suggest.
Certainly was, especially after what happened at Darlington last Tuesday. About 4 weeks ago, we knew we had a tough run. We played Blyth, Darlington twice, Stourbridge, Ashton, Workington. So we knew we had a tough run coming up. Unfortunately, we threw a couple of games away against Darlington. I don't mean that in any disrespect whatsoever against Darlow, but we were winning in both games with 5 minutes to go. And credit to them, they've come back and beaten us twice there. We went to Blyth, we lost. We played Stourbridge, 10 men for an hour, but we ended up getting beat. So to come back and beat Ashton and Workington the way we have done, and also scoring the goals that we have over the last few days, has been sort of a massive plus for us coming off the back of what, as I said, what was a really, really tough run.
And it's amazing what two games can do, because on the MPL show last week, a couple of mischievous talk sport type pundits were suggesting that maybe it's not as comfortable for Salford in the playoffs this season as they'd hope. But two wins later, and you're second, and 4 points into the playoffs. But it's been one of them years, hasn't it?
The league is pretty relentless. You only have to look at the top 7-8 sides in the division. Look at Nantwich down at 8. They're in the semi-final of the FA Trophy. Top scorers in the league. You can play anybody on your day and get turned over, as Workington found out when they played Ramy a couple of weeks ago when they drew, in the last minute. So if you're not on it in this division, you don't prepare right, or you think you're only playing 20th place or whatever, you'll get turned over. And we found that when we went to Wilkeston away 2 or 3 weeks ago. They released 7 or 8 players, brought the kids through. The youth team played against us, and they beat us 2-1. And to be honest with you, 2-1 flattered us. So, the league's really, really tough. I know it's one of the old cliches about the division, but it is a tough league to get out of. We've tried to pay it, the utmost respect in terms of how we've prepared every single game. But if you're not at it 100%, you can go to any side in the league and get turned over. So, We've had the FA Cup run, and I think once we came out of that back end of December, I think it probably took us a bit of time to get used to just concentrating on the league. As I said then, it's non-stop, Saturday, Tuesday, and I think getting our heads back around the fact it was only the, and I don't mean it, only the league, but when we had the league to play in, it's your bread and butter, but it also can be quite, relentless, as I say, every Saturday, Tuesday. So, but the games that we've had recently to pick up these 6 points have been a massive plus, but also to keep us within the playoffs and within reach of sort of, the top 3 and 4. We're really happy with that. And we're also starting to get players back from injuries now. We've had a horrendous run of injuries, worst we've had in 7 years of management. But all of a sudden we've got James Poole, Scott Burton, Tunji Moses, Andy Dawson, all coming back. So hopefully for the last 10 games or so now we've got a clean bill of health and we can get a decent run together.
I mean, you say it's a tough league, but I think it's especially tough for Salford because you mentioned the FA Cup run. There's also TV series and the ownership of the club. The expectations are really high, and you only have to see the gates at Salford City nowadays as well to see expectation. How's the management coping with this pressure, and how do you make sure that the players are protected as well?
You need to have some sort of season mentality because of what's gone on with the Class of 92 and the documentary and the FA Cup and that people do see you as a big club. Again, no way, don't mean that in any sort of arrogance, but people do see it as that. I mean, we went down to Ilkeston, as I said there, and there was 1,000 people on watching. You know, Ilkeston have been averaging, you know, threes and fours. So it shows that people will turn up, not to support us, but just to see what it's all about. Yeah. So it gives the opposition a massive boost that they're playing in front of a bigger crowd than actually we are, you know, at home, which is a bit mad. Gone to Darlington, there was 1,600 on. Gone to Workington, 1,500 on. Same at Blyth. You know, and the attendances we're playing in front of, even when we're away from home, are ridiculous for this level of football. But it's brilliant. It's great. The expectation levels within the football club are huge. I don't think, you know, anybody makes any sort of secret of it, you know, of where the club wants to be. But, you know, that added pressure sort of comes with the territory now. We've got to keep our feet on the ground with every sort of game that we've played. I think the FA Cup run stood us in good stead in that aspect, you know, getting used to being in the limelight a little bit. But it's also shown that we're not invincible, and we have, you know, sort of had a 5 or 6 bad weeks recently. So it's tough. It is tough. But, you know, I've been the other end of it last year when I was at Ramy, and we went down to Salford in the League Cup, and you saw the cameras and everything, and you could see the lads jumping at the bit, wanting to beat Salford because of all that.
Absolutely.
So we knew that when we came in. We knew that how it would be and how it would get the opposition and things like that. People want to impress, you know, in front of the Class of 92 and stuff. But I think we've dealt with it pretty well. You know, if someone had offered us second place mid-March, FA Cup run, although we're realistic enough to think we're not second place with games in hand, we'd have probably snatched your arm off. You know, it's been a decent season, but probably could have been a little bit better if we're being honest.
And the thing to remember is as well about where Salford City are, I don't think they've ever been this high in their history. It's quite a rise up the league tables. And when it comes to expectations going into the season, you mentioned the playoffs. The playoffs is that the main aim this season, and to see how you get on in that kind of lottery, or is it to get promoted this year?
Well, the main aim's the top five. It was at the beginning of the season. Once you know, you don't just want to finish in the top five then just so you can, you know, go down and say, oh, we're finishing the playoffs.
Yes.
Anybody, as Curzon showed last year, you know, they finished fifth and went up. I think I'm right in saying they finished fifth, didn't they, and went up. We was at Ramy, finished fifth the year before that in the Eaglestick North and went up. So if you're finishing that top five, you know, second to fifth, you've got every bit the same chance as if a second place finished 25 points in front of you. It makes no odds whatsoever. So if we get in the top five, as all the other teams who get in there will think they've got a great chance. You know, as I've just said, Ben, everyone's beating each other amongst the top five or six, seven. So you've got to make sure you get there first and foremost. I think would be, if we're all being realistic, Blyth have got a massive lead at the top and got a good run in. But Dowell, you know, have got the games in hand. They're chasing. Stourbridge is chasing. It's going to be a fascinating end to the season, but for us, it's concentrating on cementing our place in the top five. I'm genuinely not bothered finish 2, 3, 4, or 5. Just get in there, and as I said, we've got experience in there from the playoffs and winning promotion, and we'd be confident if we get there.
Well, me and Swampy came down on Tuesday night to watch the Workington match, and to be fair, we were impressed with both sides, particularly attacking flair. And I won't give away some of your secrets, but the throw-ins were superb, I have to say, and the build-up play for the fifth goal was excellent, and both teams were a credit to the league. And it just goes to show you the strength, in particular, of that top eight, top nine this season. It's just been superb, and I think all teams should be congratulated.
I think it's a very, very tough league, very, very, you know, packed with quality. Stourbridge getting to the second round of the FA Cup, ourselves, Barwell to the first round, Nantwich in the semi-finals. You know, Stourbridge got to the, you know, the last 16, I think, of the trophy. It's a top league. This with some great players. And as I said there, you know, some of the crowds that, that the sides are playing in front of. So, you know, anybody that finishes in the top five, you know, without it sounding like an old cliche, anyone who finishes in the top five will deserve to be there because it is that hard to get amongst it. You know, the game the other night was a fantastic advert for probably that, like yourself as well. But, you know, it was as neutrals, it was probably a great game to watch. At times, being 2-0 up and dragging back to 2-2 weren't great for me. but I can, you know, you can see the attraction at the minute in non-league football. Two sides attacking. You know, we scored 8 in our last two against third and sixth, and we're looking decent going the other way. But you know, it's trying to keep the back door shut as well when we're firing on all cylinders up top. Well, but you know, we'll take that all day long.
Well, we watched National North week in, week out, and we were blown away with how quick. It was end to end stuff at times, and both teams had so much pace going through the teams. It was just superb, and all credit to everyone really. But Anthony Johnson, joint manager at Salford City, thanks for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra. And when it comes down to it, towards the end of the season in a couple of weeks' time, we'll definitely have you back on. I think.
Brilliant. Thanks, pal.
So it's now time to review last week's fixtures in the league and to review the results that took place in the EvoStick Northern Premier League Premier Division. We're now joined by Mr. Premier League himself. It's James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group. Hello, James. How are you?
It's me, Ben. How are you doing tonight?
I'm not too bad. So where should we start? Should we start with the Dooton for a change?
Why not? Let's go for
it. Yeah, okay. It's now time for the Integro Dooton League Cup Roundup. Boom! And coming up in the next couple of days or so, when's this match taking place? This other one? It's Tuesday, isn't it?
I guess it's this Tuesday coming, yes, looking at the draw. So, well, the date.
So there's still one quarter final to get through. Kidsgrove Athletic against Ilkeston. We interviewed Kidsgrove's manager last week on the Division 1 show, available via various media outlets. Whoever wins that match between Kidsgrove and Ilkeston, they'll have an away trip to Bridlington to take on Scarborough Athletic. And that's going to be taking place, apparently, on Tuesday, the 22nd of March. And in the other semi-final, which might be a bit controversial, I don't know, Marine against Colwyn Bay, that's going to be taking place on Tuesday, the 26th of April, which, by my calendar, that takes us into playoff semi-final territory as well, doesn't it?
It does indeed. Are both teams that far behind on the fixtures at the moment? That's the only thing reason I can think of. But
I suppose from another point of view is that if you look at Scarborough, Kidsgrove, Ilkeston, no disrespect to some of the teams below Scarborough, but I think their season's all right now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean the teams that are still left in there, I think none of the teams are looking at a playoffs at the moment.
Exactly. So that bracket, it's like it is something else to play for. With Marine and Colwyn Bay, you two get the season over, finish wherever you're meant to finish, and then you've got a Dooton semi-final.
Yeah.
So could I suppose by that reckoning, it does make sense.
It does make sense, but it could be interesting come the last day of the season if one team ends up relegating the other. I know Marine is still a bit distant away from the bottom four at this moment in time, but
hey, James, that makes the semi-final even more tastier. The final's been confirmed for Friday the 29th of April. That's the day before the playoff final, so it's going to be a weekend, a whole week of football, a festival of Northern Premier League football. The venue is to be confirmed, but exciting times ahead in the Dudeson, in my humble opinion. Now then, let's go back to league matters now. And, well, where do you want to start, James? Shall we start with the league leaders, Blyth?
We shall do indeed.
Okay. So on the NPL show a couple of weeks ago, last week, in fact, a couple of people said Blyth do have it in them to drop points. And, well, Sutton Coldfield Town, always wants to put themselves about a bit and create a shock here or there, beating Blyth Spartans by 1-0 on Saturday afternoon. An incredible result against Blyth.
It is indeed. Obviously takes control of the league away from Blyth at this moment in time as well. With a number of games left, it invites Darlington to basically come in and absolutely steal the show now, worst comes to worst. Second defeat in six for Blyth there now as well. Going into that game, one of the best defences in the league. But again, going to Sutton Coldfield, you know, I just realised as well, we'd talk about Sutton Coldfield first.
We did.
Yeah. So that's twice they've lost them this season. Potentially a bit of a bogey team, But Blythe have only got one of the top six teams at this moment in time left to play.
Let's not go too far ahead. There's still a lot of twists and turns to go in this. But as you said, it does put Darlington in control a bit. Darlington are now 10 points back. They are in third position, but they do have four games in hand. And midweek, Darlington beat Ilkeston by 3-1. A very good result that for Darlington against Ilkeston. They didn't play it on Saturday, obviously, because of the snow up there in the northeast. Second position at the moment, though, is Salford City. And breaking news, I can actually tell you what happened in this match against Workington because I was there, James. I went to the match. Yes, I went to the match. But we'll start with Saturday's results for Salford. Salford on Saturday, they beat Ashton United by 3-1. It's been a very busy week for Salford and a crucial week. And we've just spoken to Jono there. And 3-1 against Ashton United, nothing to be shirked at. We'll cover off Ashton in a second or two. And that game against Workington on Tuesday night, it was a thrilling encounter. Salford City 5, Workington 3, and I'm going to suggest, actually, on the balance of play, it should have been possibly 5-4, maybe 5-all even. I mean, Salford deserved the 5 goals, but I think Workington deserved a couple themselves in that game. But a good week for Salford.
Yeah, I mean, I've tweeted before the games kicked off on the MPL Twitter page saying that the team who'd potentially lost that game, that sent out the running completely for the league title. I think that is game set a match for Workington now. They've got too much to do with the teams they've got to play as well, because they're the only ones out of that top current top five that have got opposition against the City, like I say, the Ashtons, the Rushalls, Stourbridge at this moment in time. It could be a bit too much for them. Salford to win that game, it was could decide not even just the home advantage for the playoffs. They've still got 11 games left to play in the season, but it's hard to see where they're going to pick them points up for.
Well, I could tell you, Workington are a very good side and a very strong side, as we said at the MPL show, but I've seen it in the flesh now. And it's awfully tight. All five of those teams, if you include Blythe in it as well as Ashton United, you could say seven. All seven are quite capable of beating one another at the moment. And the gap between Salford City in second and Stourbridge in sixth is now 4 points. Just to give you some scores from elsewhere in the playoff mix at the moment, we've got Barwell, who are currently in fifth position. They beat Whitby Town by 2-1 on Saturday. A very good result that for Jimmy Ginelli's side. And on Tuesday night, they beat Skelmersdale United by 3-1. Very slippery fixtures, those. They could have tripped up on them, but 6 points.
Indeed so. Barwell, again, very, very crucial for them at this moment. Just, again, Whitby could have been a bit of a banana skin for him, especially with Whitby taking the lead in the first half and the form that they're on at this moment. And then, obviously, Skelmersdale, another tough place. Both of them at home, and Barwell tend to be a home side at this moment. I know they've had a couple of big defeats there this season, but generally speaking, they've won the last six at home now as well. So it's not something that can't be shrugged off, if that makes sense. They're still in fantastic form. They've won six on the bounce at home. They've won six on the bounce altogether. Potentially putting that bit of situation on Stourbridge, but it is out of their hands at this moment in time between the team, Stourbridge, Ashton, Rushall. I'd say Nantwich, but again, I think Wembley Way is still on their minds quite a lot at the moment.
So when it comes to Stourbridge, you mentioned it, the league title perhaps now is in Darlington's hands. I'm going to suggest the playoffs are in Stourbridge's hands. They've got 3 games in hand over Barwell. They're 1 point behind. 2 games in hand over Workington, again a point behind. They've actually got 3 games in hand over Salford City and 4 points behind Salford City. So Stourbridge, they've got the destiny in their own hands. Saturday's match was postponed. Monday night, though, beat Matlock Town 4-1. Very emphatic.
Yeah, and again, who they should have played on Saturday as well. Obviously, they could now be in the top five. Barwell jumped back into that. It was a bit of a tussle on the Monday night and the Tuesday night games between Barwell and Stourbridge, both looking at the Twitters as well, both of them watching each other's results very, very closely. Obviously, neither of them have got to play each other again, so it'd be more important who's got that opportunity to step forward. Obviously, Stourbridge have got the games in hand, so it is in their possession to be able to even jump over Workington at this moment in time and get a home advantage in the playoffs.
When it comes to Ashton United, that defeat against Salford, it's not really pivotal at the moment. They still have 3 games in hand over Barwell, 2 games in hand over Workington, 3 games in hand over Salford City. The gap between Ashton United and Barwell is currently 5 points. 3 games in hand, remember, for Ashton United. The Salford City defeat aside, midweek, it wasn't too bad. Ashton United beating Ramsbottom United by 2-0. So Ashton United not out of this either. And on the fringes was Rushall Olympic. Rushall Olympic, they didn't play midweek. And Saturday, they beat Hyde United by 2-0. Just clinging in there. But it's the fact that when other teams play, it kind of puts you at a disadvantage, you not playing as well, doesn't it?
It does indeed.
No game for Nantwich Town this week due to the weather. So no games for Nantwich Town this past week and no games for Frickley either due to the weather. So there you go. Moving on down towards the bottom of the table, Ramsbottom United, we mentioned they got beat midweek against Ashton United. They didn't play on Saturday, but that result midweek puts them... what's that? That's 14 points now off safety. It's a bit bleak now for Ramit. Let's move on to another team then.
That's what I mean. Party game's not going to be enough for him at this moment. He needs to be winning. Basically, they've got four. I hate this analogy. They have got 14 cup finals left now. They need more than 14 points out of them 14 games.
Ding ding.
I can't see it happening.
Cliche klaxon. Cliche klaxon. There it was.
Thank you very much, Michael Owen.
There you go, Mike. Colwyn Bay, they're currently second from bottom. I don't think they played this week either. No, Colwyn Bay didn't play this week either due to the weather. Michelova Sports, they're currently third from bottom. They didn't play on Saturday. And their match against Nantwich Town on Tuesday night was postponed, so not really the best for the teams down the bottom at the moment. There's Whitby Town as well. We mentioned Whitby Town's defeat on Saturday. They didn't play midweek either. They went down 2-1 on Saturday against Barwell. Stamford, well. About a couple of months ago, Stamford couldn't buy a win at home. Now it seems like their home form's just completely and utterly transformed. Stamford 5, Skelmersdale United 2. A result that puts Stamford now 4 points from the relegation zone.
And with no AGM Cup at the moment as well, mm-hmm. That's going to be very interesting as to see what could happen there. They're already talking about the fact that they might have already done the Great Escape from last, which they did last season as well, let's not forget. So they are this situation what they are used to, but 3 wins on the bounce for a team, again, not just at home, beginning of the season, couldn't buy a win at all. Second worst defence in the league by a country mile. I think the only team worse than that is the Ramsbottom at the moment. But I can't even say what about the home form. Stamp is saying that it's a completely different team. If they put that performance on early on in the season, it could easily be mid-table. Again, not everyone written them off for the title. Everyone's writing them off saying they'll be relegated straight away. But they've got opportunity there to finish, for, let's say, a reasonable lower mid-table finish there at the moment. However, they've still got to play Blyth, Salford, Downs and Barwell and Stourbridge. So it is still too early to say anything just yet.
And as we kind of alluded to in the preamble to get into the Stamford result, Whitby, Michelova, Colwyn Bay, Ramsbottom, they've got games in hand now. And this week's not been a good week for Skelmersdale United. Marine had their matches postponed too. So you never know. I mean, look what happened to Michelova. They played more games than the teams below them, and the teams below them swallowed them up. So it could happen again in the closing couple of months of the season quite easily. So Skelmersdale and Hyde United and maybe not Grantham now, they've got over that 40-point mark, but you know what I mean. But anyway,
yeah.
Have we missed any results? Hales Owen beat Ilkeston by 2-0. Very good result that for Hales Owen. I think that pretty much secures safety this season. I don't think it was in any doubt, but there must have been a bit of a thought in someone's mind somewhere.
Yeah, I think if you go back a month, there was that slight slight worry because, again, Hyde and Grantham were a couple of points off him in the table, if not above him straight away. Same with Matlock. They obviously don't think anyone would worry about Matlock at all this year. If you're going to worry about any teams down the bottom end, it's got to be Hyde, Marine and Michelova at this moment in time. Looking at who's got to still play who, they've got the toughest runnings going in forward. Hyde, I don't think they've got to play any of the bottom six just yet. And it's same as Michelova, we've got, they're all playing teams a lot higher up in the table. Hyde have still got opportunities to throw it away. 9 points is not necessarily safe at the moment.
Well, Grantham got a good win against Sutton Coldfield on Tuesday night, 2-1. And I think, my personal opinion, not that it matters, like I know anything. I just know how to click record, dear listener at home, and talk in a poor Salfordian accent. But in my humble opinion, that result does a lot to calm some nerves in Grantham at the moment. But there's still a long way to go in this season, as a couple of teams have proven it just takes a couple of defeats, so a couple of wins, and suddenly the season's transformed. Just as Stamford, just as Salford City. So there you go. It can happen.
Yeah, it can do.
Well, just before we go, James, is there any public service announcements that need to be mentioned from the MPL Facebook group?
Two, really. First of all, keep your eye out for next Friday's show, because obviously we'll be announcing the final five for the Supporters Player of the Year. I just realised there is three, actually, now. Secondly, obviously we're having the MPL versus Lost Boyles game taking place at Radcliffe Borough on June the 26th. Don't quote me on that date just yet. It is on the page at the moment. Check out all their details. We hopefully will be getting, like last time, a couple of players involved, like Jay Hart, Nick Culkin, whoever's available. And any players who are not going on holiday basically in June, and you want to have a six-a-side match against some Welsh boys, let us know. We need some players. And then finally, what a week in Division 1 North.
Oh.
I have to note that quickly. Some of the scores, Tuesday night especially, Drolsden on the major drubbings as well. 9-0 defeat to Warrington and a 6-0 defeat away at Farsley on Saturday.
Hey, 9-0. Don't you use this programme as a platform to perform mind games against relegation candidates. Sorry, fellow relegation candidates. How dare you? Anyway, yes, Division 1 North has been very interesting. More off the pitch than on it, but on it is also proving to be quite entertaining as well. What's that? 3, 12, 22, 31 goals on Tuesday night in four matches. So there you go. Yeah. That's eye-watering.
And then on the Saturday as well, let me just read the results off from Saturday.
If you mention Drolsden one more time, I'm going to ban you from the show.
I've already said that's your goal, but Clitheroe 4, Briggels 3, Lancaster 6, also Albion 1, Prescott 4, Harrogate Railway 2. What's happened? This is what the Premier League was happening at the beginning of the season. And yet, Radcliffe can all get a 2-0 draw, which we needed against Witton Albion. But what a score. Obviously, I went to the Wanton game on Tuesday night and I was impressed. But Spenny Moore as well. Wow. That could be an interesting running for the playoffs at the moment.
Let me just balance this out for a second. Congratulations to Lincoln United, who beat Daventry Town by 5-0. Can you believe it? And Stafford Rangers 5, Loughborough Dynamo 2. So there you go. Stocksbridge Park Steels beat Gresley by 3-0, which is no mean feat, that one there. And congratulations to Market Drayton Town, getting a point away at Basford United. In form, Basford United. So there you go. And just to say as well, Tuesday night in Division 1 South, well, Colville scored 4 and Charlene Aquasforce scored 4 as well. So do one, James, and your northern thing. Anyway, James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, sponsored by EvoStick. How can people get in touch with you and have banter and discussion about Northern Premier League stuff?
You can do exactly like a certain person has already done tonight. Facebook.com/groups/the MPL. Or on Twitter at the MPL group.
Well, James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, thanks for joining us this week on the Evo Stick Extra podcast. And we'll be hearing from you next week, I'm sure.
You will indeed. Thank you very much.
So, for a look now into the future, joining me and joining you hand in hand from Whitby Town Radio, it's a long-awaited return of Andrew Snaith. Hello, Andy. How are you?
I'm not too bad, Ben. Good to be here.
It feels like a month since you were last on.
It probably was.
It was a month. I can confirm it was actually a whole month since you were last on. Since you were last on, it's kind of turned.
It has, yeah, absolutely. Six games unbeaten, I think, probably going into our last chat. And now 5 defeats on the trot. It just shows how topsy-turvy this league is. I still think that we're in a slightly stronger position than we were before the changes were made with the management. And I was buoyed by Saturday's performance against Barwell, if not the result. That was a huge disappointment. Last kick of the game, giving them their 11th win on the trot, which is really impressive. But yeah, Whitby really fought with them, and Barwell, with maybe a reputation of being a big physical side, they actually played some really good football, and if anybody was more physical, it was probably us. So yeah, it was a decent performance, an improved performance at least, after a string of pretty flat displays.
Now, you're here for the fixture preview for this week, and we'll cover the big game for Whitby. It is a big game for Whitby this weekend. But just before that, league aside, there is a very pivotal moment taking place for any follower of a Step 3 or Step 4 club in the non-league world, and that's Nantwich Town against Halifax Town in the FA Trophy semi-final. We interviewed the chairman last week. We're going to do a special for the second leg in a couple of weeks' time. I just figured there's no... Unless I start interviewing the person who does the pies, there's going to be no one left who we've not heard from Nantwich this season. So I figured we'd take a little break from Nantwich Town. But this is a big game this weekend, and if anyone can do it, Nantwich can do it.
Absolutely, yeah. Free-scoring side. They're always able to create chances, play terrific football. Phil Parkinson's men had the pleasure of playing twice this season and did well to get 4 points off them somehow. Terrific side going forward. They do give you a chance at the back. Just noticed the league form maybe being a little bit patchy, possibly influenced by the quality in the cup, but they've also done well in the Dudson as well. It's a terrific achievement, and I really hope that they can follow in the footsteps of Bursko and end up lifting the trophy itself come May.
Absolutely. So let's get into this then. This weekend there's some really important 6-pointers, and we're going to start at the bottom end of the table, if that's okay with you. And let's start with your beloved Whitby Town. Now, Whitby Town this weekend, they're hosting Colwyn Bay. This is a proper 6-pointer, this. Alex Grimshaw's been in touch to say, Colwyn Bay away at Whitby, crucial game, need the 3 points. You both need the 3 points in this, don't you?
Yeah, it's absolutely huge. Colwyn Bay, no doubt buoyed by a terrific win at Nantwich, actually, ironically, in midweek in the Duds. But they've rediscovered maybe a little bit of form over the past week, and they're coming to the game with a bit of confidence. A hell of a long trip, and I know we'll know all about it in the next month once Whitby make it in midweek, the return. I'm sure both sides have targeted those two games as well and thought about that they're the opportunity to pick up victories. Whitby, as we mentioned earlier on a poor run, 5 successive defeats, a better performance last Saturday, but still confidence might not be what it should be. It'll be a terrific game, Ben. Just a very quick plug. Unfortunately, Whitby lost one of the regular supporters in tragic circumstances over the past week, James Jackson, who died in a car crash. And in tribute to James, all Whitby be wearing black armbands as a mark of respect, and might just add, you know, maybe a little bit more emotion about the day. But I'm sure he would want Whitby to go out there and get the victory. It would be a huge game.
Elsewhere, there's another huge game in the relegation picture, and that's Michelover Sports hosting Marine. I mean, you couldn't write this for this Saturday, yeah. The amount of 6-pointers that are taking place. Tony Keggin's been in touch to say, away at Michelover Sports, just don't lose, lads. And Marine do have that luxury because of the games in hand they have.
Yeah, Marine doing well as well the last few weeks, starting to pull away from that bottom four. I think they're a good side, and I think they'll probably be okay. Michelover will be looking at the game, and with all due respect to Marine, thinking, well, this is one we've got to win. Home advantage as well. You heard from the Marine support saying just not lose. I think a draw would suit them. Michelover will be going all out in this one. Be interesting to see who gets the first goal. If Marine get it, then Michelover heads might drop, and conversely, if Michelover get the goal, it's going to be backs to the wall, nervy stuff for the whole 90. Terrific game, and like you say, all these 6-pointers happening, it's got a bit of a Super Sunday feel, even though it's on Saturday, of course.
And last week on the NPL show, I did make an apology for not mentioning certain sides, and I said that we would mention your side early on in the fixture preview. One such side was Buxton, And this weekend they're hosting Stamford. Now in form, Stamford. I mean, it's, those three words don't go together, do they? Now in form, Stamford. But anyway, that's right, in form's all one word. Mark Joyce has been in touch, and it's now time for Mark Joyce Roulette. And here we go. I'm hoping Butts can do Whitby a favour by beating Stamford and ourselves in the mid-table battle of the failures. Going checking out to see if Runcorn Linnets are any better than the Scarborough or Kendall, who I saw last Saturday, from the division they might go into if they win the North West Counties. Oh, and good luck to the Dabbers versus the Shea Boys. Well, that's nice, that, Mark. That's a nice piece of correspondence, that. Apart from,
yeah, it's quite
apart from the saying Scarborough and Kendall weren't up to much. And anyway, and yeah. Stampy's been in touch to say Stamford away at Buxton. Who knows? But here's hoping for 3 points for Stamford. 7 a.m. start from home. Breakfast in Leicester. Then a train from Rugby to Buxton and back. Is there a direct train from Rugby to Buxton? I don't think there is, actually, Stampy. You better check that. Anyway, moving along. That match there. Stamford, they've just completely and utterly transformed.
Yeah, they've been on a terrific run, much to the infuriation of anybody from a Whitby persuasion. I'm sure Mickle Over and any of the other sides battling out the bottom. Had an amazing victory on Saturday, and a home victory at that as well. What was a ground where they were really struggling for form, the new stadium at Borderville. They've now come into some terrific form at the moment. Yeah, they take on Buxton. Interesting one, because Buxton are at the Turnbull Ground next week for the visit to Whitby. So an intriguing one. I may just agree with Joycey on that one. I hope they can do us a favour on both weeks, to be honest. But I'm also intrigued as to how many games in succession Stampy's at now. Is it near the 600 mark, or maybe even more?
It might be more, to be honest. It can't be that much more, can it? Yeah, probably about 600, I'm going to say, he's edging towards. Get in touch with Stampy and let us know anyway. Keeping an eye on things down the bottom end of the table is Hyde United. Mickle Over proved that you can't rest on your laurels. Teams below you will catch you up. This weekend, though, Hyde United are hosting Sutton Coldfield Town, and George Rothwell's been in touch to say, hoping for a win against Sutton will keep us safe, while Peter Bibbings, the only game we won in recent times was against Blythe, so can only go on historic form in this brave new world of ours. We're playing a team near the bottom, and we are relatively high up the table. I'm not expecting a great deal. Difficult to say which way this will go, I think.
Yeah, great words, Peter. I like that.
Yes.
Had a couple of victories together in recent weeks, just giving them a little bit of breathing space. They're now 9 points clear of Whitby and who are fourth bottom, Hyde with 3 places above. So they should be reasonably confident going into that game. Absolute carpet there at Hyde as well. Might just suit Sutton, but obviously they play on the artificial turf, which is also absolutely divot-free. So it should be a good close game.
And just lastly, while we discuss the relegation picture, Ramsbottom United are hosting Grantham Town. Rammy have to win this, really. And Grantham Town, they could rest a bit easier now.
Yeah, absolutely. Started the improvement in form, I think, with the win over Whitby about 2-3 weeks ago. They've never looked back. Again, they've got some breathing space. 12 points clear the relegation zone. They'll think, maybe privately anyway, that they should be okay now. Ramsbottom, yep. Of course, they're desperate at the bottom there. 14 points adrift, and they're desperate.
Now, we did sign Skem United off last week. We did say, that's your season done. Congratulations. Still not there, I don't think. And we're not going to sign off Grantham just yet, I don't think. But this weekend, let's go to the top end of the table. And it's getting interesting now between Blythe Spartans, obviously. But this weekend, Darlington are travelling to Matlock. And Phil Lindley's been in touch to say, Matlock v Darlow. If it's on, I reckon we'll end up in the Derby Royal Infirmary. I think that's for it being cold, I think Phil means for that one. Anyway, or a slip injury. That's what it means. You know, it can be quite treacherous there at Causeway Lane if it gets a bit frosty. But anyway,
hopefully it's not going to kick off.
No, of course not. Oh, it will kick off at 3 o'clock. Darlington, it's in their hands now.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, they've got the games in hand. You'd say they've got the firepower as well now with Liam Hardy in there alongside the likes of Lee Gaskell as well and Cartman and all the other quality that they've got. And Blythe just maybe looking over their shoulder after that surprise defeat on Saturday against Ourbridge at the weekend. Blythe will be looking over their shoulders. They'll be nervous. I do think it is the North East too. I know Salford are still on the shoulders of Blythe. But they've played a few too many games. I think it's Darlington versus Blythe, and from a Whitby's perspective, if they're lucky enough to stay up, then I think we're definitely going to lose one of our quote-unquote derbies for next season.
Now, in pole position at the moment is Blythe Spartans. They're hosting Halesow in town this weekend. John Hague has been in touch to say the Coventry Spartans will be out in force at Croft Park celebrating 21 years of supporting Blythe. We're sponsoring the game against Hales Owen, and we have to get back to winning ways after last weekend's blip at Sutton Coldfield. Hopefully, Nathan Buddle will serve his suspension midweek against Heaton Stannington. Are they Northern League?
Northern League, yeah.
Yes, okay. Howie Blythe, and excuse my ignorance for the Northern League. I only know Jarrah Roofing and all the Shields, obviously. But yeah, Blythe Spartans, they should be comfortable with this one against Hales Owen, who've not really got much to play for now.
In theory, Ben, in theory. Yeah. maybe a kind of fixture for Blythe to get back into it. And it's just a really fascinating race up at the top there, isn't it, between Blythe with the points on the board, which I think is James Hayes' points on the board, and with Darlington pursuing them. It's going to be fascinating. I wouldn't actually, before this, like the last couple of weeks, I was like, nah, it's all Blythe. Now, not quite so sure. I do think that Hardy signing is key here. Just that extra bit of firepower, that extra strength and depth.
And Salford City have, they had a terrible month in February, but they're back now. And I saw them midweek, and they're very good. They're very fast, very direct, very pacey, and a match for anyone. And Skelmers, they're travelling to Stormy Corner on Saturday to take on Skelmersdale United. Salford, it's good to get the blip out of the way. Are they now going to go unbeaten to the end of the season?
Well, weren't they going to win the league by 10 points?
By 10 points, yeah, apparently so, yes. Yeah. Infamy, that's Berkey's Alan Hansen moment, isn't it?
I mean, you look at Salford and you think they're the team to avoid in the playoffs, which is what I think they'll end up finishing in, and then who knows what's going to happen from there on, because that's an exciting little tussle there at the top, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a minute. But yeah, from a Whitby's perspective, I obviously wish them well at Skelmersdale. I do think Skelm will probably be okay. Just sort of looking at, sorry to drag it back into the relegation debate, but I think it's Stamford, Whitby and Michalova, maybe Colwyn Bay with a slight chance with that game in hand. And I think it's three of those four to join Rami, with all due respect to Ramsbottom. But still lots of time to go. Whitby's manager, incidentally, I don't know whether you picked up on this quote, but he said they need six wins. He thinks six wins will be enough from the last 12 games, which, to be fair, in itself is probably going to be a big ask. Yeah. Just they've only won six at home all season.
You wouldn't have said it was a big ask, though, last month. So it's possible to once it's turned around, you can turn it around again, I'm pretty sure. This weekend, Workington, who last week on the NPL show said we're in the playoffs, and now it's not looking so good. And Ilkeston are hosting Workington this weekend. I saw Workington midweek. They're a very good side and exactly what you'd expect Workington to be like. It's just how they're going to compare with other teams around them at the moment, I feel.
Yeah, absolutely. And goodness knows what Ilkeston are going to serve up. We just don't know, do we? Whether they'll have a full team, whether they'll get let go of a few players. We just don't know whether they'll beat one of the top sides, whether they'll lose heavily. They must be the hardest team in the league to try and predict, and God knows I'm not that man who can do that. But yeah, it should be a really good game. I can predict that.
now a really good game or a mud bath. One of the two, I don't know, might be a wrestle somewhere. Ashton United against Barwell at Hurst Cross. Jonathan Fletcher, bit of luck and a fair bit of wind. No, actually, that's wrong. Bit of luck and a fair wind. Ashton United will be in the running for the playoffs again following this result on Saturday against Barwell. Barwell are in a hell of a run of form, aren't they? This is phenomenal, what Barwell are serving up.
They are. They're the league's form club, 11 wins on the trot. What they have, I think, is just a supreme confidence. They believe in themselves, and you know, no surprise with the run that they've been on. Something that Jimmy Ginley's really got his side together. They've really, I think, after that heavy victory, that heavy
Salford.
Defeat, I should say, big yes. victory for Salford, that 7-0, he's really said that was a turning point. It was a kick up the backside to paraphrase himself.
That interview we did where he basically said everyone was in the bar and everyone was saying, oh, Paul Scholes is there, and he sat on the coach. I'd imagine him with his arms crossed, looking a bit unhappy. he does signify that as a turning point, and well, what a turning point! And against Ashton, it's going to be a tough game, but it's going to be a really good game at Hurst Cross. And finally, on Saturday, we've saved one of the best fixtures to the last, in my humble opinion. Stourbridge against Frickley Athletic. I'm going to put my colours to the mast. I've got a funny feeling about Frickley. I know they're a long way back, but I've got a funny feeling. Anyway, Daniel Austin's, hopefully another 3 points for Stourbridge, and Richard Clark, Stourbridge at home to Frickley, got this down as a banana skin for Stourbridge. Frickley, having a better season than most expected, will be happy with any kind of win, and a good luck to Nantwich too from Richard Clark at Stourbridge. So, Stourbridge, if the title is in Darlington's hands, then the playoffs is certainly in Stourbridge's.
Yeah, you would think so. Yeah, they're right on the brink there, just a point behind Barwell, 3 games in hand. But Barwell, it's just they've got the confidence and the momentum. I wouldn't vote against them staying in there somehow. I mean, they've lost 12 games, and nobody inside that top 10 has lost that many games. So it's intriguing, but they've won 21. They're a good side and they're in form. I always like to go with form. Stourbridge, Frickley, in some interesting exchanges on Facebook, on the MPL group, some good banter there. Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if Frickley surprised a few people with a result at Stourbridge, but you'd think that with just 3 defeats at home in the league, Stourbridge would have too much.
I'm telling you, I've got a funny feeling, just a funny feeling. Anyway, the big game though this weekend is Whitby Town against Colwyn Bay, and the only show in town for this one. If you're not going to this match, where should you tune into?
Whitby-town.com, follow the links for Whitby Town Radio. Myself and Paul Connolly, helped ably by producer Lee, will bring you all the action from this Anglo-Welsh clash, a giant 6-pointer, a rocket buster, a boom-banger-bang affair.
Boom. Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio, thank you very much for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra, and you have a lovely weekend.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, Ben. You too, mate.
And now for your correspondence. Obviously, there's a bit of a big match taking place this weekend between Nantwich Town and Halifax in the FA Trophy. And we've had some correspondence in about this particular fixture. Richard Scott, a big game for Nantwich at the weekend. No team has ever won both the trophy and the vase. And Ryan Batty, as Richard said, Dabbers versus Halifax on Saturday, absolutely huge game for Nantwich. Daniel Owens, big day at the Dabber Dome, hoping that Nantwich can sneak a win against Halifax. And friend of the show, Johnny Crowther, has been in touch to say, massive game at the Weaver. Can Nantwich Town yet again defy all the odds and beat FC Halifax in the semi-final first leg? I absolutely think that we can, and we have 107 reasons to be positive. And on behalf of all the listeners, once again, a big, massive good luck to Nantwich Town this weekend. We've had one piece of correspondence in from Division 1 South. That comes from Paul Griffiths, who says, Kidsgrove versus Basford, hopefully a goal bonanza and winning 5-4. Been a while since we've won a game and would be nice to put one over Basford after losing somewhere in Nottingham on a wet Tuesday night. From Division 1 North, Nick Harling, Clitheroe hosts Radcliffe. Can we do the double over them? I'd have thought so, wouldn't you? I'm sure James Hayes would agree. Danny Evans, if Charleston concede less than six, I'll be happy. And two pieces of correspondence in from Warrington Town. Lloyd Berry, after the 9-0 win on Tuesday night, 3 points against Ossett Town on Saturday. And Ryan James Bedard, 3 points, nothing more for Warrington this weekend. And just a couple of pieces of correspondence from the Premier Division. John Thompson, expecting us to get a mauling at Stormy Corner by the class of 92 playthings. Worst season at Skem for 20 years. Never mind, could be a lot worse. A massive heads up for the Dabbers. Good luck, lads. And David James, lastly, on this week's Wall of Correspondence, he's been in touch to say, this Saturday, I can guarantee that Russia Olympic will not lose. They won't win either, or draw in fact. That's because they're not playing, David. And that concludes this week's Wall of Correspondence. Tune in next week for another wall littered with your beautiful correspondence. Back over to you, Ben. Well, that's it for this week's Evo Stick Extra. We hope you've enjoyed this week's edition. A big get well soon to Newcastle Town manager Ivan Lodge. Remember, you can follow the show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. And you can get involved with all the discussions and chatter on the old internet. That's at facebook.com/groups/the NPL. And just a word of note, last week we never mentioned that it might snow. That's because I don't think anyone even thought it might snow. But if you wake up on Saturday morning and there's snow outside, best check Twitter before setting off on Saturday morning just to make sure that your match is on. But that's it from me for this week's show. A big thank you to all my guests for joining me, and a big thank you to you, dear listener, for tuning in as well. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick NPL side, make sure that you have fun, and good luck once again to Nantwich Town. Take care. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.